Amen. What a great way to start off a worship service than to worship the King this morning. One of my favorite times and periods in history, and I'm not a real big fan of history, but I do like certain times in our past. And looking back in the times during the medieval times, if you're familiar with that, the days of kings and the days of queens, knights in shining armor who would rush off on their horses to fight the battles to protect their families, to protect their people. The king during that day and age was looked upon as the highest position that one could acquire in that day and age. But also on the other end of that spectrum, the servant was about the lowest position that one could have. A good king was highly favored by his people. He ruled and reigned over the land with things such as honesty and integrity. He protected the kingdom out of concern for his people. He provided for the people out of love because he cared about them and he was concerned for their well-being. He was their leader and they respected him. But on the other hand, when you read through history, you find that not all kings were good kings. There were some kings that were wicked. The wicked king, however, was despised by many. He ruled and he reigned through things such as fear and through his power and through his mighty army. He protected the kingdom not because he was concerned for the people, but more so because he was concerned for his own family. He was concerned for his own well-being and for the kingdom that he himself believed that he had established. He provided for the kingdom out of obligation. That was his duty as the king. He was their leader, but respect for him was seldom found. I've been reading over the past several months through some of the Old Testament, and I've gone through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and now I'm in the book of Ezra. And in just even these three books of Scripture, I found a lot of references to different kings and different kingdoms that had been established. The Old Testament is filled with those accounts of these kings and their empires. Some of these kings, such as Asa, king of Judah, were godly. 2 Chronicles 14:2 says that Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey the laws and commands. Asa was a good king. He was a godly king. He knew the Lord, and he obeyed his commands, and he wanted his people to do the same. But there were others, such as Ahaz, king of Judah, that were wicked, and they opposed God and the books of the law. 2 Chronicles 28:1 says that unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and also made cast idols for worshiping the Baals. He was a bad king. He was a wicked king that disregarded anything to do with God and his commandments and precepts that he had established. Well, this morning I want us to look at one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and that is David. And I want us to look at and examine this morning his relationship with the king. You see, David was under the leadership of a man by the name of Saul. And Saul, if you have read the passages in Scripture in the Old Testament, was Saul a good king or was he a bad king? He was a wicked king. He was a king that most of the time disregarded what God had to say. But this morning, I don't want to look at David's under the leadership of King Saul, but I want us to look at another king, a king more important than Saul. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 145. Take your Bible, just kind of split it in half. You should end up pretty close to the Psalms. Psalms chapter 145 is our main passage of text for this morning. And David, it says, a psalm of praise of David, beginning in verse 1. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts, They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and He's compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that He has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you, and they will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all that He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving towards all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him and hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His name forever and ever. Father, we thank You this morning that we can come and study Your Word together. Father, we pray that the meditations of our heart, the attitudes, our mind, Father, would be focused on You this morning. God, this morning as we look at You, King Jesus, Father, we just pray that You would open up our hearts, that You would open up our minds to receive Your Word. Father, not that this congregation and those that are maybe listening to us later on in the tapes and in the homebound ministry and those that listen to the sermons online, Father, I pray that these wouldn't be words of mere man, but God, they would come from the heart of You. Father, we praise You this morning and we thank You for being King. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want to just kind of quickly go through those passages of Scripture because David knew the King. Yes, he was under the leadership of King Saul, and King Saul was a mighty king back at that day and age and back during the time of David. But David knew and understood that there was a king much bigger and much more incredible than even King Saul, and that was King Jesus. Verse 1, David refers to God not only as a king. He didn't say that, you know, I will exalt you, my God, a king, in the New Living the New International Version is what I'm reading out of. He says that he refers to God as the King. And I believe David knew that with all his heart. He knew that King Jesus was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That there was no other king that could compare even remotely to the God that he served. And David knew that. He realized this. David proceeded in these verses that we just read to describe the king. And he described him as such. In verse 2, he says that he's great and he is worthy of praise. In verse 5, he says that he's glorious, he's majestic, and he's wonderful. Verse 6, he says that he is powerful, he is awesome. Verse 7, that he is abundantly good and righteous. In verse 8, he's gracious and compassionate. In verse 8, he's slow to anger. And God is rich in love. Verse 9, he says that he's good to all. Verse 10, he says that he's praised by his creation. Verse 11, that he is a mighty God. Verse 12 says that he has a glorious kingdom. And in verse 13, he says that his kingdom is everlasting and that his reign endures forever. He is a faithful and loving God in verse 13. He is concerned for the sinner in verse 14. And in verse 16, he is satisfying. Verse 17, he is righteous and loving, and he is near to those who call on him in verse 18. And he watches over those who love him in verse 20. Man, could you imagine one day on your tombstone having those things written about you? Or maybe in the obituary that says, you know, such and such
have these characteristics. That is an incredible description of the King of Jesus. That is awesome to me. In the video that we viewed earlier, Reverend Lockridge saw King Jesus just as David did. King Jesus is a king that is worthy of following this morning. The Apostle Paul, I believe, understood this as well. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look for the T's. Thessalonians, Timothy. I think Titus is in there. Yeah, Titus is after it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. Here Paul is given some instructions to basically his apprentice, Timothy. Timothy was a young man in his faith, and Paul just always kind of undertook him and kind of took him under his wing, and he began to disciple Timothy and began to teach him the ways of the Lord. And in the chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 11, he says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." He says, Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life of which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, "I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time." I love this. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. Amen. Man, that is just a powerful passage of Scripture. I believe that Paul understood, and he had an intimate relationship with this king. And he knew that this king was above and beyond any other king. And he had that intimate walk with the Lord Jesus, King Jesus. I can't help this morning but to agree with both Paul and Reverend Lockridge. That's my king. And I hope this morning that you have made King Jesus your king of your life. Well, let me ask you this. Who is your king this morning? Many times that we say as believers that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. Well, Jesus comes to be our Savior, of course, by inviting Him in. He gives us an offer, an invitation that says, if you will come to me, if you will trust in me for eternal life and me alone, and if you would basically ask me to forgive you of your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. And if you're willing to turn from your past and to follow me, that begins salvation. But it's, in a way, it's easy to accept salvation. It's receiving a gift that is given to us freely. Does it cost us something? Absolutely. It costs us our very life and our allegiance to the Lord Jesus. But making Him Lord, that's a different story. Making Him Lord is an ongoing, I don't know about you, but it's an ongoing day-to-day process of trying to become more and more like Jesus. It is a daily struggle. It's a daily battle. And we all struggle. But we need to desire to make Jesus not just our Savior, not just fire insurance, but church, we need to make Him our Lord, giving Him what I believe Lord means, and that's owner and ruler. We need to make Jesus the owner of our life and the ruler of our life. In the days of old, a good king ruled over a kingdom and his servants. And you see, his servants, if he was a good king, they followed him and they obeyed him. Not out of commitment, not out of because they had to or obligation, but a good king, his servants followed him because they respected him and they loved him. I believe that's what Jesus wants from us this morning. Not an allegiance that says, you know, I'm doing these godly things because I have to. I'm doing these because, you know, I'm going to get a spanking if I don't. I know many times as a young boy, I did a lot of things and didn't do a lot of things because I was scared of the belt. You know, I was scared of the whooping that was to follow. Any of y'all in here with me? Yeah. You know, we were scared of that. I don't believe God wants us to be obedient out of fear and trembling that our Heavenly Father is going to whoop us. And He does whoop us. Anybody ever had a spiritual whooping? Oh yeah, that was bigger than my daddy ever could have given me. But the thing is, I believe this morning that God wants us to follow Him and be obedient to Him, not out of obligation to Him, but out of love for Him, out of respect for Him, and out of that close, intimate relationship with Him. This morning, I want you to just kind of examine your own heart and your own life and your own mind, and just kind of take a spiritual evaluation of maybe where you are this morning. Are you being obedient to God's Word? If you aren't, have you really made Him Lord? Maybe you've made Him your Savior. You've invited Him maybe a long time ago when you were a child. Jesus, come into my life. Make me different. I want to live for You. And you've repented of your sins and you've asked for forgiveness of your sins. But right now, where you're standing, where you're sitting, in your walk, in your job, in your home, in your family, around your friends, have you really made Jesus Lord? He truly your owner and your ruler. Do you let Him dictate the things that you do, the things that you see, the places that you go? Or are we walking in our own shoes and making our own decisions? If you are being obedient this morning, is it out of love and out of gratitude for what He's done in your life? Or is it merely out of duty? Something I think we all need to think about. Sometimes we go to church because we just go to church. We do it because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. I don't know about you, but the more I fall in love with Jesus, and the more I understand what Jesus did for me in my life, the more I want to read the Bible. The more I want to hang out with other believers. The more I want to get in fellowship with other people that believe the same way that I do. I believe that it comes not out of obligation, but it starts beginning a process in our hearts and in our minds. Man, I want to be there. I want to be involved. I want to be a servant because of what Christ Jesus has done in my life. God wants our obedience because we love Him, not because He's given us a list of rules to follow. I believe that we as a society, especially in modern day America and North America especially, but really all over the world, I believe that Christians have begun to lower our standards. We've begun to blend into the world so much that sometimes you'll meet somebody and you have no idea whether they're a Christian or not. Because sometimes we get so accustomed to the world's way of thinking, the world's set of standards, that we confuse the world's standards with God's standards. And they begin to mesh and they begin to kind of blend in together, and we get kind of confused. And we get disoriented in what we need to be doing and the business that God has called us to be. We see that in lifestyles. We see people in all different walks of life that are trying to kind of be in the world and kind of be in a relationship with God. Well, there's some truth to that, but Paul makes it very clear. We're supposed to be in the world, but Paul says we're not supposed to be of the world. We're not supposed to live as the world lives. I believe we're called to be different. We're called to be aliens of this world, just almost nomadic caravans. We are supposed to be just travelers passing through. We do have to live in this world. We have to associate with other non-believers, and that is great. Jesus Himself did that. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't stumble upon non-believers. He went to them. He went and shared with them. He went in love with them. He went and poured His heart out and His life and His ministry so that other people could see the living excitement and the resurrected Christ in and through His life. And I believe that God wants the same from you and me this morning. That we would live our lives based on obedience, on His Word, on principles that He teaches, that others might come into a relationship with Him as well. You know, I believe that some time ago that somebody mentioned to me that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Folks, we got to be people and men and women of God that would be willing to stand for something. And I don't mean just anything. I mean this right here. to be able to stand on what God teaches us. And I know so many times we'll read a passage of Scripture and we're like, ooh, I'm going to skip past that because that's about me. And we just keep right on going. But maybe God wants to deal with our hearts. I know many times I'll be reading through the Scripture and I'll say, wow, God, did you write that for Michael? Because that hits home. And that's just God just taking out His spiritual sandpaper and trying to make me more into His image and His likeness. To allow King Jesus to become more king and less of me. We need to all be able to examine that this morning. To ask ourselves the question, is He really king of my life? To be a child of a king, to me, is an incredible thought. I want you to just take a moment to think about that. What does it mean to you in your own heart and in your own mind to be a child of the King? I don't know about you, but I went through school many days with a sad heart. And the reason why I had a sad heart is because there are many cruel children out there. Kids are mean, right? How many of you guys think kids are mean in school? Absolutely. Anybody ever been picked on? Absolutely. We go through life and people pick on us for whatever reason, and they make fun of you. And many, many times I see this a ton in youth ministry. So many people have such low self-esteem. They don't feel good about themselves. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, you can feel extremely proud of who you are for this reason. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a child of the King. The King is the most highest position back in the Old Testament days that you could acquire. And to be a child of the King meant that you have access to everything that the King has access. And that's biblical. You get into God's Word and He says that we are heirs to the throne. We have been given all authority that King Jesus has under His authority. And everything has been handed to us. So the next time the devil tries to tell you that you're a nobody, tell him, hey, I'm somebody. Not because of my own merit, but because I'm a child of the King. But unfortunately, too many times we live our lives trying to be the King. I know I've done that. I try to make my own decisions. I try to fix my own problems. I try to do things Michael's way. We all have rights to that kingdom, but we're not the King. King Jesus is the King. I want you to think of an illustration of driving a car. How many of you ever been on a long trip, driving a long distance? You ever get tired driving? Probably the longest I've driven is 12 to 14 hours by myself driving, continuous. And after about 10, 8, whatever hours, your body starts getting tired. Folks, let me tell you this. When you're in the driving seat of your life, you're going to wear yourself out. Because you're trying to fix your problems, you're trying to take care of everything. I don't know about you, but usually when we get in control of our lives, what usually happens? We either get in a wreck and mess it up, or we get off the path, the road. We miss the sign that we're supposed to go this way, and we end up going this way. Folks, we've got to be willing to be able to remove ourselves from the driving seat and slide over to the passenger seat and say, King Jesus, can you drive? I want you to be the decision maker in my life. I want you to be the one that says, hey, we're going this way or we're going this way. It's easy for us to say, I want to go this way, but if we're in the passenger seat, we end up being obedient to the driver. But as long as we're in the seat, we've got control. And we can head whatever direction we want. And Jesus, being a good, not backseat driver, He doesn't offend us. He doesn't say, you've got to go that way. He doesn't make us. We are free will beings and we have a choice. We can either follow Him and be obedient to Him, or we can try to do it my way. King Jesus wants to be King of everything. He wants to stay in that driver's seat. But so many times we put Him off to the side in the passenger seat. I know when Jessica and I are driving home, it is great to be able to say after a few hours, Jessica, can you drive for a little bit? Because I'm tired. Think about this. When I move over to the passenger seat and I let my spouse drive, what do I get a chance to do? Get a chance to rest. Get a chance to relax. Folks, you want to be stressed out in your life? Stay in the driver's seat for too long. it's a whole lot easier living your life over here in the passenger seat and letting King Jesus focus on the direction of your life. That's something you don't have to worry about. All you have to do is check in with him and say, hey, where are we going? And sometimes he doesn't tell you. What does your parents ever tell you? We'll get there when we get there. Mine did. Or you'll know when we get there. Even did that to some people in the Old Testament. Told them, pack your bags, head on out. I'll tell you when you get there. And that's difficult, church. There's no doubt in my mind. It's difficult not to be in the driver's seat. But King Jesus wants to not only be Savior this morning, he wants to be total Lord. And if we're going to allow him to be total Lord, we've got to move from the driving seat over to the passenger seat. So who is your king this morning? I believe this morning, God wants us to understand this. If we want to be somebody in life, we've got to be willing to be nobody. Think back to Christ Jesus himself. He was the King of kings and still is, and the Lord of lords. And he reigned and ruled in a place called heaven. But out of love for a sinful man and a sinful woman, he chose to step out of heaven and come down. And he didn't take the form of an earthly king like many thought that he was going to do. But he came as a humble servant. I believe this morning, if we're going to allow King Jesus to be king of our lives, we've got to be willing to say, hey, I'm not king. And that again is moving from that driving seat to that passenger seat. We've got to be willing to take on that humble attitude of a servant that says, yes, Jesus, I'm here on this earth not to make Michael big, but to make Jesus big. I'm here to point people to Christ, not to point people to Michael. And when we get to that point, King Jesus becomes king in his rightful place. Jesus set that example for us. So this morning, I want to ask you, have you made Jesus truly king of your life? Not just giving him access to part of your life, but have you given him everything? Your career, your desires, your family? That's a hard one. I'll be honest. The hardest prayers I believe that I've ever had to pray is to allow God to have control of my family. God, whatever you want for my son, for my daughter, for my wife, they're yours. They're not mine. That's a hard prayer to pray. Because then we move from the driving seat to the passenger seat and say, God, you take care of my family. Yes, I need to do my part as a husband and as a father, but ultimately I'm under your leadership. And that's a hard prayer to pray. This morning, we're going to conclude the service a little bit differently. And I'm going to ask the praise team if they would just come on up. We're going to sing a song of invitation that we already sang earlier. But it fits so perfectly with what we've looked at in Scripture this morning. And it's called Amazing Love. And some people call it, You Are My King. Church, I believe God wants to make Himself King. Not just Savior, but He wants to be total owner, total ruler in yours and my life. This morning, I may have said some things, or we may have read some scripture, and you say, man, that king sounds mighty awesome. He sounds fabulous. But I don't know that king. If you don't know King Jesus, I want to invite you to come, and I'd love to be able to pray with you and share with you how you can have a personal relationship with him. It's the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. There may be some of you here this morning, and you just want to say this morning to God, not to me, but just to God, and say, God, I've been in that driving seat for too long. God, I want to be in the passenger seat. Show me how to move positions and let you be owner and ruler over everything in my life. Maybe there's a stronghold. Maybe there's something you've been worrying about. Let Jesus take control of that situation. Then you don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is trust in Him. Take care of the need. Whatever your decision this morning is, maybe you just want to stand and worship. Maybe you want to sit in your seat and just pray. Whatever you feel comfortable doing, I want you to do that. I want you to talk to the King this morning and let Him know how much He means to you. So if you'd stand, as the praise team leads, if there's something that you need to do, if you want to come and pray, come and talk to me, whatever you need to do, you just go ahead and free feel to do it. Father God, this morning we do honor You. Father, we do want to say that we thank You so much for King Jesus. Father, we're grateful this morning that we've had the opportunity to evaluate our hearts and our lives. And God, if there's any area that we have not given over to You, Father, I pray that today would be the day. God, that we would allow You to be the leader, our guide. Father, the path that we follow, not what our friends say, not what the world says, not even what we say. But God, we'd be willing to put aside our thoughts, our desires, and say, God, I just want to follow King Jesus. God, may we fall in love with You more and more each day. And Father, may You bless us and keep us and guide us. Bless our families and our community, that people would see Christ living through us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.